Hey, everybody, welcome in, one and all. Gather around wherever you may be and join us. It's time for Three Guys Before the Game, the bye week edition of the show. Thanks so much for being with us. Tony Caridi along with the Senator, Brad Howe, and the Dean, Poppy Kercheval. Welcome in, everybody. The Mountaineers, as you probably well know, have the weekend off. A weekend that they need off as they continue to try to fix themselves after last week's debacle in Iowa, and they get their sights set for next Thursday night when they take on the Baylor Bears. Hi, guys.
Hello, Hoppy. Tony. Hi, Hoppy.
I must admit that I stopped these guys because they accidentally already started the show before we started to record. Like, they're sitting there talking about, well, I tell you what I want to talk about, and then all of a sudden they went. And I'm sitting there going,
well, that's what Brad and I do.
I was half paying attention, and I said, well, wait a second, this sounds very, very similar to what the show sounds. I said, stop. Let's just do the show. We're going to roll tape, so let's jump in. Mr. Hoppy, we start with you. You're still doing that public affairs talk show each day.
I am.
And did I see on the social media that you had a poll?
On the internets?
Yeah, regarding the panic question?
Yeah, because Dana Holgerson said at his press conference, there's no reason to panic. Well, you know, when you say to people, listen, don't panic, what do? They immediately panic.
Right. No running in the halls.
Yeah, exactly. No, don't panic here. Nothing. No problem here, folks. It's like Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Don't panic. Don't panic. But I didn't have the exact number. It was about 60-40, don't panic.
Oh,
but I 60-40. Think the fact it was 40 saying panic tells you how bad that Iowa State game was, because you wouldn't panic if you got nipped. You wouldn't panic if you had a big offensive performance but turned the ball over. But it was so bad, Brad, it does set off a panic button, frankly.
Well, I think you're right. A loss is just one loss, and there's a lot of things left this team can achieve in the season. But my goodness, it was so bad on Saturday against Iowa State. It's going to take a good effort in your next game for people, I think, to be completely comfortable that, okay, they got it back on track. They've got it fixed. It's moving forward, because it was a rough one. It gets rougher the more you've watched it. I've gone back a couple times, Tony. You should just burn the tape.
Why don't you just jam the tape. An ice pick in your ear, you know, instead of watching it.
I should have. It was hard enough the first time.
Here's a problem, Tony, with some of the dialogue is that, well, you still have all these things in front of you. Well, okay, you do, but that's what you say after a loss. That's not what you say after you've been after a debacle. When you play so poorly, you question your ability to win future games. So I think all that discussion about what's ahead of you is irrelevant until you prove that you can play a lot better than you did on Saturday.
Agreed, but wouldn't you also agree that that tact that Dana Holgerson took was the tact that you take?
Well, he's the coach.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he were to come out and said, there's a reason to panic here. No, I'm being serious. If he did come out Tuesday and say, you know, the more I look at it, we've got some serious reason to panic here, then I think everyone gets flipped out. Not only the fan base, but I think the players kind of get flipped out, which may or may not be a bad thing. But I think, though, he handled it the way that you handle it, but maybe inside.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe, to the team, you say what the message was to the public, and the same thing. In the coach's room, he should have walked in and said, boys, time to panic.
I'd be shocked if he did.
Because it was awful.
Wouldn't you be shocked if he didn't? I don't think that he sat down with the coaches this week when they closed the door, and if he said, boy, guys, we had ourselves a bad day there. I would tend not to believe that for one second. I think he probably read them the riot act as to what in the heck was that.
Well, he probably did. And my guess is the position coaches didn't need a riot act read to them. I mean, they're watching the same thing we watched. They're watching the film, too. It was really tough to look at.
How about, and I don't want to take away from how bad it was, but also credit Iowa State. They did have a perfect setup there. And John Haycock, their defensive coordinator, did a really good job with that defense. And talking to an analyst who looked at the game closely, told me that they ran a couple of defenses, a couple of things that they had not run previously. And also, they just had West Virginia confused the entire game. West Virginia never did figure it out. I mean, they took away that long pass. It wasn't there for West Virginia. Greer kept looking for it. They stayed in that zone much of the night, and the receivers weren't getting open. That was a superior job by the coaching staff of Iowa State and an inferior coaching job by West Virginia.
You're right, but that's also what surprises me the most, because if West Virginia was going in with the true freshman quarterback and saw a defense it had never seen and confusion reigned, I would have said, well, that's part of the deal. You learn with a freshman quarterback. with this particular quarterback, this set of receivers that has seen everything, Dana Holgorsen, who's an offensive guy, and Jake Spavital, who's been around, I wouldn't have thought that confusion or not having an answer would have been part of the loss menu here. I would have thought, okay, they turned it over. They got beat defensively because there were injuries and you couldn't tackle David Montgomery. I wouldn't have thought it was because the other team had a better game plan that confused the offensive group for West Virginia. That, to me, still stands as the most stunning here a week later.
I think collectively we all thought if there was going to be any confusion, it would be on the part of Brock Purdy.
Yes.
He was the guy. We thought last week, we said, what, well, we brought up the, we took the name of Sam Bradford, and we said, what happened to Sam Bradford when he was a freshman, when West Virginia brought folks from all different angles? So anyway, I was just absolutely stunned. What do the English say? I was gobsmacked, Hoppy. I was gobsmacked by that. So you say, in regard to the panic question, don't panic until there is more, if there are more issues and you don't score a lot of points next week against the Baylor Bears, then panic.
Yeah, I think Baylor's critical. I think Baylor's a critical game because that's a team that's that should be a win for West Virginia, but it's also not Kansas, where you can play poorly and still get the win. They do some things. They challenge. They were right in it with West Virginia last year. They came storming back. I think this has to be a West Virginia team on the offensive side that comes out early next week and establishes itself as like, all right, that was a bad night. We're back. We've got this thing under control.
The Baylor game last year was very similar, and I drew that comparison to what happened to West Virginia at Texas Tech earlier this year. West Virginia goes up 35-10 at Texas Tech. Very similar last year. West Virginia jumped Baylor and then went flat in the second half. So you're right. You have to be concerned.
You know, I am still hung up on this Iowa State game because, it could be one of those seminal moments.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where think about seasons and about eras, and there are games. A lot of
96
games.
Miami.
96 Miami. West Virginia and Geno Smith going to Texas Tech.
Yeah, 2012.
What do you remember about that entire season?
That
game.
Yes.
And things were never the same.
Yeah.
So that's why I look at that performance and think this might be a thing. Okay. Not just a one off. But a thing where
point.
If this season goes off the rails, you look back in the at the beginning of the year, we talked about seeing Will Grier and telling your children about it later in life. This also could be a season where you look back later and go, remember that year? They had that all that, and they went, then they got beat. And
Brock Purdy could become the next Seth Deggie.
Well, and I think given how 2012 went, I think that's why there's 40% of your audience hit the panic button. Because it looks like the same script. 5-0, climb yourself into the top 10, everything looks great, Heisman candidate at quarterback, you go on the road, and you absolutely lay a complete egg. You didn't just lose, the whole thing exploded on you. So I think that's, if there's panic, it's probably some PTSD from Mountaineer fans that have looked back and said, I've seen this before.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm worried this is what we're doing this again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so we move ahead now to further action. So do you panic? Do you not panic? We've determined that we're going to wait on the panic button.
No, I'm panicking.
Kurtzville panicked.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the two of us are going to wait and see how Baylor goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're in the 40, and you're in the 60. No, you're in the 40, and we're in the 60%.
I'm in the 40.
Yeah, you're
I'm in the
40
panic mode
at this point. Okay. I get it. I completely understand it.
But I'm wound a little tight in anyway.
You're in your comfort zone if you're in the panic mode.
But, you know, what you said, Hoppy, is true that as we put moments, normally when we look back at seasons, we do bring up one game in particular that you don't want it to be. You're hoping that the Iowa State game just becomes a blemish rather than a crater. But if things don't go well the rest of the way, people will always look back at that because it's your first loss and you played so poorly, so potentially that could happen.
This will tell us a lot about this team and this program because you've heard all summer and through the first part of the season what great leadership this group has. So you find out about leadership in times like this. This is when Dana Holgorsen's going to have to earn his money as well. Is he able to keep this group together or does it splinter and fracture? So I think this second half of the season's huge.
You know, West Virginia early on was so amazing and played so well. And they earned that top 10 ranking by being undefeated and being the teams they played. But again, they benefited from the schedule. The four Power 5 teams that West Virginia has defeated this year have 6 wins against Power 5 teams. So you have to put those wins by West Virginia in perspective. Now, you separate that out and say, but at times West Virginia looked unbeatable. They played really well. But let's face it, the teams that West Virginia's defeated, other than Texas Tech, have been extremely marginal.
They have, but that's also kind of the league this year, too. I mean, look forward at the league. Who's Baylor beaten that's of any note? Texas.
Kansas.
Texas has a good win over Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoma really hasn't beaten anybody of significance. Oklahoma State hasn't. TCU hasn't. The remaining team. So that's part of the equation here is, while that's certainly true, there aren't a lot of teams left on this schedule where you go, my God, look at the wins they have. This league just doesn't have a lot of great wins.
Scary stat. I just looked back at 2012. After West Virginia lost that game at Texas Tech, you realize they lost five in a row?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't remember that they had lost five in a row. All right, well, that's not going to
happen. Was that including the bowl game?
No, they would lost five out of seven. The bowl game, we got pounded 38-14. The two wins were 31-24 after Texas Tech, 31-24 over Iowa State, and 59-10 over Kansas.
You know, West Virginia has not been a team in recent memory that has beaten teams, that has hit above its, punched above its weight class. It hasn't done that very often.
Well, it's going to have a chance to do it in November.
Well, get through October first. Now you really have to worry about that. You know, we did a lot of talking about, well, okay, this Baylor, Iowa State, but boy, yeah. Wait till November. Well, you know what? Wait till Baylor.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, I was waiting at Iowa State, remember? I'm the one that said, perfect setup, perfect trap.
Yeah, you were.
Perfect trap, perfect setup. Everything's going to be going their way, and they hit it to an absolute T. All right, so we move on here. When you look ahead toward Baylor, and we're going to do Baylor again on Monday, so we're not going to do a ton of it. It's easy to say, well, this is a game that you have to win. It's easy to say that Matt Rhule, the head coach there at Baylor, has got these guys headed in the right direction. But as important as Iowa State was, this game becomes absolutely so much more important because now you're not on the road. Now you've had extra time to prepare, as Baylor has, and now you must win based upon, as you just said, what's still to come in November. That's why it is a massive game, because if you don't, you've got two in a row. Now you've lost all your confidence if you don't win, and now you're going to Texas.
Yeah, I think you're in some real trouble. It'll be panic button time if you lose to Baylor, because, again, look at Baylor's schedule. They've beaten Abilene Christian. They beat Texas San Antonio. Lost to Duke by two touchdowns, beat Kansas, lost to Oklahoma by 33 points, squeaked by Kansas State, we've seen Kansas State, and then lost in a close one to Texas. So better because they were so rock bottom. This is an absolute winnable game here, and you've got to go perform.
Absolutely, for a lot of reasons. From a national perspective, I mean, West Virginia was so high in the rankings. You can, if you go out and whack Baylor, then you're going to look at that. Then the national people say, well, that was a one-off. We still have some questions about them, but they won the game. But if you lose that game, you are out. The national folks will say, we don't want to spend any more time talking about them. And West Virginia will be finished for the season, unless they go out and do something miraculous in November. You will be off the radar.
You are, and you're not far removed from being way back in the discussion either. As you guys just said, you beat Baylor and suddenly go find a way to beat Texas. There's a lot of times talk Texas, and there's some X and O concerns I have when it comes to that game. But you suddenly beat a top 10 Texas team, and now you've lost one game. You're in the second week of November. You have a win over a top 10 team. The narrative switches back
absolutely.
Again.
It does. But again, I've caused myself to get ahead of myself, because you still go back to go how bad you were at Iowa State. Just that. I mean, just you were so bad that again, we talk ourselves into saying, well, if this. But you were so bad at Iowa State, there is not a lot of reason for optimism going forward. It was a killer to optimism.
But
It was. You're 100%
however,
right.
However, the point that you're making almost sounds like the patient is completely gone, flatlined and out. There's still a heartbeat. I mean, for as crazy as we're saying, hey, if this thing doesn't happen against Baylor and you got two in a row, the whole thing can tank. Just keep this in mind. You win the rest.
Stop.
Hoppy. You got to play the games mathematically. You win the rest, you're going to win the league.
But you flatlined against Iowa State.
Well, sometimes they rub the paddles together and they wake you back up.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they say, Well, they start taking off their gear.
Correct. So what does that mean? You need to see what happens at Baylor, but you're proclaiming it dead. You're proclaiming a national title. it is in the middle there. You've got to see what happens at Baylor. Because here's the thing. After the Tennessee game, you could have sat here, here we go. West Virginia's winning the national title. And then you chuck it up to Iowa State. As I tried to tell you in week one of this show, it is a week-to-week business a little bit. So both scenarios are possible. Could West Virginia win the Big 12? Could they win it?
Possibly, yes.
Could they be dead and lose five in a row? Sure they could.
Yeah, but okay,
this could
be
an absolute disaster.
When we started this program, Will Greer's going to win the Heisman. West Virginia's going to compete for they're going to be in the Final Four. Tennessee was just proof of that. You were already looking to November.
Yes.
You had skipped to November.
Correct.
That was a year ago.
Correct. I said it was possible. I said they were there. If not, now when?
Anything's possible. Yes. Anything's possible. I'm saying now, based on how they played, not only the previous game, but a game or two before that, what is the probability? I'm not talking about possible. What is the probability?
The probability is,
why did Las Vegas put the wins at 7.5?
Because
it turned out they knew a heck of a lot more than we thought.
They think they're going to win 7.5.
They're going to win 7.5 games. And they might. They might. They also might win 9.
Stop.
We don't know that yet.
Too early, dude.
That's why we're talking
Hoppy,
about this.
Now listen, we've got midterm elections coming. Listen to me. When the polls close, I don't see you jumping right up ahead and saying, this race is over. What do? You operate with a degree of patience.
Well, he waits till the numbers are in?
He waits.
Wait, he doesn't call it?
No,
he doesn't. Open the show by declaring the winner?
He doesn't.
Why doesn't he do that?
Well, because he's been around long enough to know things
change.
Can
I work election night? I want to sit next to him on election night and go, call it! It's over! Hardy County's done! Call it!
Two things. One, he won't allow you to do that. And number two, for your own benefit, no, you do not want to be next to him on election night. No, you don't want to be next to him at all. But so, Hop, that's kind of my point. You just got to kind of wait and let the thing develop, but we'll know a ton more after the Baylor game. All right, a couple of things before we go away here. I want to talk about Big 12 games coming up this weekend. We've got only four teams that are playing, two games coming up. We'll get into those in just a second. The basketball schedule kind of gets rolling this weekend as Golden Blue debut happens. Then the Mountaineers will play next week in a closed scrimmage that no one knows anything about against Purdue in Columbus, Ohio.
I don't even know how you know they're having one.
Ooh. And then the week after that, they'll take on Penn State. We encourage people, if you're not going to go to the Texas game and you're around, come watch them because it's a fundraiser for the Hurricane Florence damage. But the Mountaineers and the Big 12 made the announcement of their schedule for next season earlier today, and we record on Thursday. And so 6 home games, 2 Power 5 games, 5 Big 12 games on the road, spread over 15 weeks, 2 open dates in the schedule for West Virginia. First time that's happened since 2016. So we'll be off the last weekend of September. And we'll be off on the last weekend of October. Hey, so those are not, dude, 4-4-4, right?
And props to the WVU Athletic Department for scheduling Missouri and North Carolina State. I mean, you see these other teams, it's a month in before they play anybody. West Virginia plays Missouri and NC State. That's a very good non-conference schedule, Brad.
Yeah.
Well, you might need to see if they get wins before props to the Athletic Department for scheduling it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just because their schedule is so much more difficult than anybody else. I mean, 11 Power 5s on there. There isn't anybody in the country playing 11 Power 5 schools. So it's a constant debate that goes on. You're right. From a fan perspective, I like that. I'd rather see games against Power 5 schools. But from a what everybody else is doing situation, West Virginia is clearly the outlier there.
And this is one of those years where we're going to literally start in August. The last day of August is the first game against the Dukes of James Madison, then on the road in Columbia to take on Missouri, and then home to NC State.
You know, and James Madison is not a pushover.
No.
By any stretch.
Very, very, very solid program. All right. Jumping ahead to this week.
Oh, 3 start.
Excuse me?
Oh, nothing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Panic has carried over to 2019. We're not even there yet.
I mean, I just want to see you make these precinct calls that quick. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So in the on the scoreboard this coming weekend, there are 6 teams in the Big 12 Conference that have byes, obviously the Mountaineers included. So you got 4 teams playing. You've got Kansas at Texas Tech. The line on the game is Texas Tech by 18. A little bit of an over-under low 58.5 because they know Kansas can't score.
Kansas can't score, and is Alan Bowman back for Texas Tech, or is it Jet Duffy again? Because you saw what Tech did with Jet Duffy the last game out against TCU, and it was a defensive struggle. Yeah. Neither team could score, so that's part of why that over-under number's down there.
Okay, and the other one is Oklahoma TCU. Horned Frogs are in jeopardy of going 1-3 in league play, and they're at home in Fort Worth.
You want this
eight,
one,
Javi? I think the line is 8. Boy, TCU is real. Talk about a disappointment. I mean, they have struggled this year, and they got turnover problems. So I think the line is 8. I like Oklahoma to cover there.
Yeah, quarterback troubles there with Sean Robinson. Very talented. You can tell he's athletic, but just doesn't have command of that position yet. Boy, you would think Gary Patterson, of all people, when you back a team or a program against the wall into the corner, you would think they have a shot. What's going on at Oklahoma? They fire defensive coordinator Mike Stoops. Do they get a bounce? Do they get the Ruffin McNeil bounce where the defense performs a little bit better? You take out their FAU game to start the season, Oklahoma hasn't been exactly impressive either. I know they're living in the top 10 right now, but that's not a juggernaut Oklahoma team.
So you're taking the Frogs?
I really have a tough time doing that. They look bad.
Yeah.
They look really bad. No, I would take Oklahoma, but Gary Patterson, this would seem to be a time when he could get his guys rallied.
My gut tells me that since they were off last week, Oklahoma and Ruffin McNeil, I think they come out and they play.
You think they get a bounce?
I do. I think they rally around him. I think when you think that the problems with Oklahoma's defense have not been athletically, but they just weren't tuned into what Mike Stoops was selling them, and as a result, they weren't getting it done, I think they'll play for this guy. Every report is that they love the guy, they're going to play for this guy. I think they ball out.
Well, I think you're going to get that answer. If it was athletic related, you'll find that out early, because I don't know how many big scheme changes you can make in that short of time. So it's going to have to just be,
they'll simplify.
Do you lay it on the line a little bit?
And you know what? It could be one of simplification. He may have got, coaches, sometimes they get so smart. But as Amos Alonzo Stagg used to say, it's not what we know, it's what the players know. And if your players are sitting there trying to spin around, right, they don't play. Just dumb it down, go get the ball. Oftentimes works.
A defensive coach told me one time, he said, "See, we're playing this team and they're going to do this. And when they do this, we should do this. But here's the problem. We can't do this."
So don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? So don't do it. Okay. And lastly, before we go away, it's Oscars time. Oscars time. By the next time we come on with the three guys before the game, we'll have an Oscar announcement. Oscar Shubue, the most decorated recruit that West Virginia has been seeking for the last 21 years. They've been after this kid basically since he came to the United States, and he's going to make the big announcement Saturday.
Saturday. Slated to do it Saturday. There's reports out there that it's down to the final two, West Virginia and Kentucky. I had somebody tell me that Kentucky is probably out of the mix, but Illinois is still hanging around in there. But I'll say what I've said all along. I would be absolutely stunned if West Virginia doesn't end up with this guy, Tony. They have been, as you said, on him early. They put a lot of time in there. Shubue is comfortable and familiar with Morgantown. He's been down here a ton. This is about as good a situation for a five-star as West Virginia can ever hope for. They've got it lined up. They need to get a yes from him coming up this weekend.
This is so big that in the history of my public affairs program.
Sure. What's the name of that again?
Talk Line.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Talk Line. Good.
That we covered it on my show. First time we ever covered basketball recruiting on Talk Line.
Could you imagine your listeners? When you put that on there and said, we're going to talk about a basketball recruit, I would like to have the soundtrack of the people talking to their radio when you said, coming up next, we're going to talk about a Mountaineer basketball recruit.
Well, let me tell you, Politicos. They are, but I explained that. I said, look, I cover stories. I cover things that interest me.
Yeah.
And Shubue is a story.
Big story.
Right? So it's not just about basketball recruiting. It's a story. It's an event. Just like I did a story, a hard-hitting story on why the leaves haven't turned yet. But you were
stories.
Wondering about that yourself.
You do stories.
I do stories.
Yeah, you do stories.
Could be the Senate race. Could be Oscar Shubue.
Yeah, or could be three guys before the game. Hit the music, Donnie. All right. There we go. We're out. That was very Switzerland-like, right? Very neutral. It was a very neutral show. Very benign. We'll be back again on Monday. And we'll set our teeth into the Baylor Bears. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. Spread the word. Subscribe for free. Have yourself a dandy of a weekend. See ya. You can't depend on your preacher.